How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, welcome everybody to the latest episode of Locked On Lakers. I'm your host, Harrison Fagan, and you can before we get into the show, I got Chris Manning here, the community manager for the NBA 2K series, and one of the biggest Laker fans that I know, which is saying something considering I interact with all of you guys on social media on a daily basis. But before we bring Chris in really quick, I wanted to remind you guys that you can find the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and today's Fast Break. Please give us a review on iTunes. We appreciate a 5-star review. That really helped us out if you can. And today's show is sponsored by SeatGeek, the best mobile application to buy your tickets to whatever events you want to go to. The Lakers are back in season, as you may have heard, and SeatGeek is the best place to find to buy your tickets if you want to go. It has your deal score, and you can buy the stuff right on your phone, and it's a seamless experience, and I recommend it to all my friends, and I did so even before I was they sponsored the show. But anyway, let's get to Chris. Chris, how's it going?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been a while since we talked. I think the last podcast that we had, we were talking about how we should focus on the young, fun Lakers and not worry about the record. But the team is 9-9, and they are. I think it's fair to say they're substantially better than we thought they would be when you and I last recorded a podcast.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. They look about 1 to 2 years ahead of where they should be. And it's really been a fun season. It's exciting to watch them gel and, most importantly, just play together and play the right kind of brand of basketball. It's nice to get caught up with the times. You know, we're a little past that ISO ball kind of era, and now we're entering this team ball kind of era, and I like to see it as a Laker fan.
Yeah, that's been kind of one of the more fun things about it, is it's not just one guy carrying the team. It's a different guy on every single night, and sometimes it's even the veterans. Like, Lou Williams has legitimately put himself into the conversation as the best player on the team.
Yep.
Which it would have been an insane thing to say during the preseason. I mean, during the preseason, Anthony and I talked about, we thought that Lou Williams might end up out of the rotation, which I remind people, just to remind them that I don't pretend to know, to act like I know everything. I get things very wrong sometimes, and I think we were all wrong about the Lakers. And a big part of the reason why we were so wrong about the Lakers is I think Luke Walton has had a bigger imprint on this roster than any of us really expected. And Chris, I wanted to talk with you today. I mean, is Luke Walton the coach of the year? Is that fair to say?
I mean, if you look at the way that the Lakers are playing, not just their win-loss record, but the way that they're playing, the consistency in which they're gelling, they're playing together. That doesn't mean that, you know, they're making mistakes along the way, and these young guys are going to take time to gel. But from what we've seen already, I think he's absolutely in the discussion. And it's really interesting because this is somebody that obviously played alongside Kobe Bryant and understands that psychology and that kind of mindset. And then it's somebody who was a part of the Warriors and what they were building over there in Golden State, and obviously having a hand in player development. I remember the last time we were on, we were talking about how Luke had a really big hand in player development in terms of Draymond Green, for example. So you're seeing what he's doing with a player like Julius Randle, who there's a lot of similarities between the two. And it's just really nice to see. And I think that when you look at the way that the Lakers are winning games and the kind of brand of basketball that they're playing, they're definitely ahead of the curve. And it's just really fun to see. Who would have thought that the Lakers would have had the best bench in the NBA? And if you look at the veterans, right, people were questioning Mozgov and the Deng signings, and Mozgov's been pretty damn solid for the Lakers at the center position. So it's been really fun to watch these veteran players, Lou Williams you alluded to, come in, understand their role, and help play this team style of basketball. And for me as a Laker fan, I'm absolutely loving it. It's just a lot of fun right now, and I think a lot of that has to do with the culture that Luke Walton has brought inside L.A.
Yeah, you touched on a lot of stuff there, but I want to get into the Mozgov thing really quickly here as an aside. I mean, I think a lot of people questioned his signing for the contract more so than what he could bring to the team because, you know, maybe I didn't think that he would be this good, but I thought that he'd be a valuable piece for this team. And again, I think that part of this is just Luke he's already shown a pretty deft touch for putting lineups together. I mean, the starters last night were not great, but one of the things that this team has figured out is that if their starters can just tread water, their bench unit can really separate themselves. And I think that ultimately goes back to Luke because he put together a bunch of guys that you wouldn't necessarily just think would fit that seamlessly together coming off of the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look right now with the injuries to Julius Randle and D'Angelo Russell, players like Black and Robinson, these are guys that hustle and play hard. And it's an extension of what I believe that Luke has done to this team, which is, you know, we all kind of play up to the strengths as a team. And then as individuals, the team allows us to be great. And I think it's a really fun culture, something that we definitely have missed in Los Angeles for a long time. Because even during the championship runs, the DNA of the team, the mindset of the team was a little bit different than how they're playing now. The best way I can describe it is they've kind of moved on to this new era style of basketball, something that Golden State does extremely well. You know, pre-KD, even though Golden State, they're definitely, they've kind of caught on fire as of late, and I think they're starting to figure it out with KD. But I think it's really interesting to look at the way that the rotations are set. As you mentioned, the bench has been phenomenal. And a guy like Lou Williams, like you were alluding to, how about a player like Nick Young, who many thought should be out of the league heading into this year, has completely reemerged his entire career here in Los Angeles, got his head on straight, and is playing an unbelievable style of basketball in this system. And it's just, this extends off to every single player. You know, I think it's something that should be credited to Luke, which is understanding how players should play in their roles, but also the rotations. And even with Julius Randle out, which I think is a big piece to this team, you're seeing these other guys step up. You're seeing these other players seamlessly kind of fit in and out of slots. And that just tells me that the coaching is really what we should credit here. And, you know, kudos to Luke because, again, this team to me looks like a year or two ahead of where I think everybody expected them to be. And it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think the part of the like Nick Young, he talked about his hand. He gave that memorable analogy of his hands out of the grave now. You know, mm-hmm. he was in the grave and he crawled back out. And multiple players have talked about how they want to run through a brick wall for Luke. And like that's multiple guys phrasing it exactly that way. And I also think that this has been a part of the bench's success, is every single guy feels like they have a chance to play on any given night. They think that they know, really, not just think, they know that Luke is going to play whatever player is playing best. There's no politics in it. There's nothing. He'll bench D'Angelo Russell or Julius Randle down the stretch in favor of other guys. And the difference between this year and last year is he's benching them for guys who are actually helping the Lakers get wins. Like, there's reasoning behind it, behind those guys, other than those guys just being young.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, players fitting into roles, these early injuries with D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle, you're seeing these other players step up down the bench, and that's really a sign of great coaching. because people are filling in those roles, filling in those slots, and stepping up when we need them to. We did get hammered by the Warriors, and I felt like one of those games, honestly, we kind of deserved one of those games because, you know, it's been fun to beat the Warriors the last couple of years at Staples Center. But the last game against the Warriors, they made a lot of sloppy turnovers. They really didn't play well in terms of moving the ball around. It was very sloppy. But it's nice to know that, you know, you're seeing the growth of these players. They beat Atlanta twice. And I believe right now, as of this podcast, Atlanta is just behind Golden State. They played a back-to-back tonight, so that game's close. But it just shows you that you know, these kids are learning, they're hungry, they're eager, and really there's just so many great stories on this team. And you're seeing a consistent kind of style of basketball, I think, because they buy into the system. It's not hero ball. It's not, I'm going to save this team, I'm not going to jack up bad shots. I mean, it's really a consistent, nice approach to the game of basketball. And it's been fun to watch. I can't say that enough. It's just fun. As a Lakers fan, I'm really happy because you know what I love more than Kobe and the players on this team? I love winning. And I just want to get back to winning. Because I don't know about you, but I still, you know what I hate? And I should have brought this up earlier. I still hate the fact that I wake up every day as a Lakers fan and I know that Boston has one more banner hanging up in their arena than the Lakers. It bugs me. It irks me as a fan. So when I see this kind of stuff and you start looking towards the future, makes you smile.
All right, Chris, I want to get into that more with you after this break, but first I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. It's the best mobile, it's the best application, period, for buying tickets. It's the smartest, the easiest way to get tickets for games that you want to go to up and see them up close and in person. There's nothing like being in the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, club seats, or the upper level. I use SeatGeek. I used it last year to go to Lakers game with my younger brother, and we were able to set it up so that I got alerts when the price that I was willing to pay was available on the tickets, and I was able to take him for his birthday last year, which was really, you know, like an awesome gift that I was able to get for him. And so you could do the same for one of your family members, and you know we here at Locked On Lakers are here to sweeten the pot for you. So if you use the code LO Lakers, you get a $20 rebate on your first SeatGeek ticketing purchase. So that's just $20 that you get back for really for nothing. That's for free. That's a gift to you for listening to the podcast because we appreciate you. So again, use SeatGeek. It is the easiest way to buy tickets. I can't stress that enough. If you're buying them any other way, I can't understand why. And again, that promo code is LO Lakers for a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. All right, Chris, let's get back to the show a little bit. And you know, you talked about the Lakers, you talked about wanting to catch Boston in banners, and I think that's a sentiment that a lot of Lakers fans share, and that a lot of Lakers fans, I think probably like you and I, thought was a longer way off than, you know, maybe it is. And Luke, I think as of right now, 18 games or wherever we are into the season, I think Luke Walton, you almost have to give him Coach of the Year because of how much he's gotten out of this roster and how far above expectations they are. A lot of the times it seems like Coach of the Year goes to whatever guy, you know, coaches the team to the best record. But I really think that this Lakers team success has been a testament to Luke's coaching. And do you feel like he's kind of getting a ton out of this roster and that's why they're playing above expectations? Or do you think that we maybe underrated this roster going into the year?
I think it's a little bit of both. These are players that were around the Kobe farewell tour, and a lot of fans have a lot of disrespect for Byron Scott, but he honestly, to me, Byron was always a veteran player coach, and I felt like we needed a coach that understands the youth, that understands building something. And I just felt like Byron Scott wasn't the right fit for this roster. I feel like Luke Walton absolutely is. And I think it's a little bit of both. No one foresaw Nick Young playing this way and this well in the season. A lot of fans, I know, I just talked to a lot of fans that wanted him off the team completely going into the season. So it just shows you how he's maximizing every player on this team to buy into a system that, quite frankly, when you have a coach that played with Kobe, as some of these young players did last year, that understood that mentality of, I will cut your throat to beat you. I will step on the dagger when it's in your heart to make sure it stops all the blood from pumping in your body. I mean, he was an assassin. But the thing is, you also have to have a system that allows these young players to understand how to play the right style of basketball. So I think it's like kind of like the best of both worlds. He's somebody that understands that mentality and something that these players were around and witnessed, but then they're also buying into, you know, the success that Golden State had, which was a team style brand of basketball, which led them to obviously 73-9, which, yes, I know I'm talking about Golden State a lot, but they used to play prior to the KD days, you know, back before Luke Walton was our head coach. They used to play a style of basketball that was a very selfless and, quite frankly, unbelievable brand of basketball, because everybody knew their role. Their bench was amazing. And that's the thing. We know that on championship teams, role players are extremely important. So to see guys, the veterans like Mozgov and Deng and Lou Williams come into this squad and accept their role and also work and help these young players is really exciting, because then you see the youth. And that's the thing that I had the biggest problem with Byron Scott. It wasn't the fact of our win-loss record, because we weren't a good team. We weren't playing good basketball.
No matter who the coach was last year, this is a cliche, but no one was winning with that roster last year. It just wasn't happening. Luke Walton wouldn't have won this many games with that roster last year.
Absolutely. And that's what happens when you sign players to one-and-dones, right? Like, yeah. That's the thing. I feel like going out and getting players like we brought up and we talked about Mozgov earlier, a lot of people were laughing at that. Then you saw the salary cap, what the actual contracts were being paid, when people started to understand that this is the new age of the NBA. You know, it's $200 million max contracts now, give or take. So now you look back and you go, okay, Mozgov was a pretty good deal compared to some of these, you know, contracts that were given out to some of these players around the league. And not only that, but he plays hard. He does what he needs to do in the system. It's exciting to see that mesh with the youth of this team. And you never saw that last year or the years previous. And that's kind of where I think a lot of Lakers fans were frustrated, was, hey, we have some of these pieces, but we're not really growing them. Now, all of a sudden, these guys believe they can win every game. And they're consistently playing a style of basketball that proves they can stay and hang in games with some of the best teams in the league. And, you know, they've had a little rough patch recently because, again, the injuries. But it's a good thing for this team, because you're seeing, you know, players down the bench. I keep bringing up Robinson as an example. Come out, play hard, grab rebounds, play defense. And that's a good sign of good coaching. So as these, you know, young kids develop together, they're truly believing, and you're around the locker room, so I'm sure you can speak more to this than I can. You're seeing that a lot of these players believe that this team can not only make the playoffs, but compete with any and every team in the league. And consistently, they're proving that this year. And that's really the craziest thing about it. And that's why I say I think they're 1 to 2 years ahead of themselves, because I don't think anybody foresaw with this roster what Luke was going to be able to do. And, you know, we have a big stretch of away games coming up here, and I think that's going to be a really true test for this young team, because I think leading up to the end of December, I think it's like 13 of the next 15 games are on the road or something like that. I might be wrong on the number there, but
sure,
I know a lot
of
games.
I know it's four of the. I know that they have 4 and 5 nights as their next little stretch right here, which is the one that Walton was not very happy with when he was talking about it after last night's game. Because if you look at the travel, you can go to Silver Screen and Roll. I did a write up on this.
Yeah.
But the travel makes absolutely no sense. They literally
bizarre.
Fly over Memphis on the way to Chicago, and then fly from Chicago to Toronto, and then back to Memphis.
It's bizarre. I was looking at that. It's definitely questionable. But you know what? These kids are young. I remember when I was 20, 21 playing basketball, you could run for days, eat in and out, keep running, eat pasta, keep running. So, you know, that's a good thing. But, you know, I think having D'Angelo out definitely is just disappointing, because you want to see this team at full strength. Obviously, we've seen what they could do. But it's a good opportunity for them to continue to grow and learn in the system. And, yeah, it's take some patience, but man, the Lakers are one of the most exciting teams to watch this year. I don't think anybody would have expected that.
No, not at all. And you're absolutely right about them believing that they have a chance to win every single game. They do, and they should. If you would have told me before the season that the Lakers would win a single game with Russell and Randle not suiting up, I would like both of them out, I would not have believed you. I just would not have thought that that type of thing was possible, because I thought that this team was not going to be as good as they are, and they've proved me wrong. And I think part of that is that idea that you spoke about, that they, because these guys are locked in long term, they feel like they're building something, right?
Yeah.
And they feel like there are pieces here, and these are like from Luke Walton getting the long term deal, and I'm sure talking about what they've built in Golden State and them seeing mm-hmm. what he built helped build in Golden State. They believe that, and then bringing in guys like Mozgov and Dang on long term contracts. And although Dang has been probably the only player so far that's play hasn't been helped this season by Luke Walton,
they
see those guys come in, those are veteran presence. They say, hey, the ownership wants to win right now, so we should really believe in ourselves. And you know, when you look at those two guys and their types of skill set and who they brought in, you know, your Mozgov, your Dang, those are the types of guys that players love to play with. Like you mentioned, back when you were 20-21 and playing pickup basketball, you know, if you were like me, you probably wanted to shoot a lot, right? You wanted to be able to handle the ball and touch it and feel like you were having a role, right?
I never met a shot I didn't like, let me tell you.
Well, exactly. And no young player really does. It's very like Larry Nance Jr. Right. is the exception to that rule. But and Tarik Black, I guess, too. But most young players, they want to have the ball in their hands. And guys like Mozgov and Dang are more than happy to play those kind of supplementary roles. And so whether or not the Lakers overpaid them or whatever, that's a separate discussion. But there's a reason that D'Angelo Russell was so excited about the Mozgov signing all offseason. He was posting on social media about mm-hmm. it. And, you know, actually, he was playing as him in NBA 2K. I remember I did some short form
yes.
on a video that he posted of, I'm pretty sure he turned up Mozgov's athleticism sliders just a little bit, because I think he caught that lob pass around the free throw line. But, you know, there's a reason Russell is cheating in 2K, when he plays with Mozgov. It's because they're excited about playing with these types of players and being in this type of locker room and this type of system.
Yeah, and you said it, you know, last year it was hard to build this kind of basketball based on people that didn't want to be in LA, Dwight. So, you know, it's really great to see guys that want to play here, that understand what we're trying to build here. And yeah, I mean, you can look at Dang's numbers and you can definitely probably say he's been the biggest disappointment from a fan perspective, but you have to look at it from the perspective of, here's a veteran coming in, not complaining about anything, helping these young guys. And that doesn't mean on the court, if he has a Dane could have a terrible game, that doesn't mean he's not helping these young guys understand the game of basketball and being around different locker rooms throughout his career. There's a reason why Kobe, you know, absolutely wanted him in a trade. If you remember back to the Kobe trade rumors, yeah. You know, they wanted Dang. There was an article about LeBron and Wade potentially going to the Bulls, but they had to get rid of Dang. So they didn't really, you know, they didn't pursue that back in, you know, when LeBron was making his decision. It's interesting that you hear that from other veteran players around the league about his presence and what he kind of means to a basketball team. So you can't take that for granted, because we were complaining about those type of players that didn't want to be here last year, right? Everybody hated the previous center that we had, because, you know, everybody wanted Roy Hibbert to be great here, right? You
yep.
look at Mozgov and Roy Hibbert, it's not even close in terms of production and just the way that they're gelling with the team. It's not even close. So
an ability
I get,
to stay upright for an entire offensive possession.
Right. So you look at that kind of thing and you have to give credit to the Laker organization for getting the right pieces in here and absolutely striking gold with Luke Walton. Like he was the perfect coach at the perfect time for the perfect team in the Lakers. And it's really nice to see that, kind of knowing we have a secure future with all these players, you know, it's just a nice thing to watch.
It's one of those things where I think at the time, almost everybody said, this is the perfect guy. This is exactly the guy that you would want to lead this young team. And they still undersold it. Like all of us still undershot how perfect he would be for this team and how big of an impact it would make just having a coach come in who was just kind of positive all the time and was talking about the process and wasn't putting a bunch of expectations on these players and was kind of more willing to really just coach them and do the basics with them and go through that kind of stuff. And the players, you know, that's why they talk about being willing to run through a wall for him. And that's why they're playing so well. And they've played so well that I've tried to avoid having this question on the podcast for as long as, you know, as I could reasonably avoid it. But I wanted to ask you, you know, and I figured we should discuss this. Are the Lakers a playoff team? I mean, they're 9-9 right now. They're without Russell and Randle going into this 4-game and 5-night stretch that we talked about, although Randle may come back somewhere in there. But, you know, it's just, they've played so well, even despite going through some adversity in terms of their roster, and Russell is playing hurt for a little bit. I mean, do we kind of have to consider them in the conversation at this point?
Yes, because you look at a team like Portland, who's a game behind the Lakers, and, you know, at least as of now, they might have a game tonight. But if you look at the reason the Lakers are winning these games, there's one thing that stands out to me, and this is why I believe they're a playoff team. They are absolutely destroying benches. And when you look at the second bench, even though it's not a good team, I believe you have those stats, you know, the teams that have the best benches, it's not even close to the Lakers. So the fact that the Lakers have such a dominant bench means that consistently they're playing a very good style of basketball. And you know as well as I do, second units are extremely important in this league. And the fact that Luke has a nice flow of a second unit that comes in and plays well together, and Lou Williams comes in, and it's just unbelievable to watch, you know, to see how well they play together. And what are they averaging? I think you have the statistics in front of you. Do you have those?
Yeah, so the Lakers bench is leading the league with 52 points per game. That is over, or just about 9 points ahead of the Brooklyn Nets, who are second with 43.6. And so, you know, the list of teams right there leading the league in bench scoring is not great. So it goes, it's the Nets, the Sixers, the Nuggets, the Pelicans, the Bucks, the Hornets, and then that's like kind of the first good team that you get to other than the Lakers. But the Lakers are 9-9, and they have enough of kind of a disparity that you start to think maybe that's a positive for them rather than just their starters aren't good and so their bench plays more. And then if you get into the more advanced stuff, that lineup of Jordan Clarkson, Lou Williams, Brandon Ingram, Tarik Black, and Larry Nance Jr. has outscored teams by 16.7 points per 100 possessions so far this year. That's a better scoring margin than the Warriors' average.
Exactly.
I mean, they are just like, they are roasting opposing benches alive.
And for those that don't, I'm sure most people listening to this are Lakers fans, but for those that are not Lakers fans or haven't been, you know, checking in, it's a really interesting thing to watch, because heading into this year, people didn't think we would score 16 points per game overall, you know, with the way that it was all doom and gloom with fans. But it's the one thing that tells me absolutely they're going to make the playoffs. I really do believe that. And
Okay, so you are our first guest to come on and emphatically say that. The strongest we've gotten from other people is, okay, there's a chance. So you're calling your shot right now.
The bench is too good to not make the playoffs. And you look at teams like Portland, who have it's been interesting. They have a very similar record. I definitely think that we're right on track, you know, and if they can continue to play this kind of style of basketball consistently. Now, if we had a player like last year or in previous years, that was one player that's kind of having a hot stretch and, you know, it was that kind of basketball, then you could question it if we had the same kind of record. But the Lakers have a system that is proven to work. They have a bench that is demolishing other benches. And, you know, they've put up wins against very good teams in the league already. I think the upcoming month is going to be interesting with all these road games and this current schedule. This could be a little rough. But I think after December, after the New Year, I believe they have, or after Christmas rather, I believe they have a pretty good home stretch there for a while. So
I remember reading early in the year that their opening schedule was really, really tough, and then it let up a little bit in the second half of the year.
Yeah, so that's a good thing, obviously, to hang your hat on. But this is going to be a really good test for the Lakers and to see, you know, if they can make the playoffs and what kind of team they are on the road. Now, obviously, we have injuries. That's going to be tough for them. But I like the fact that they're going to continue to learn to play together. And again, when you start dropping people out of the lineup and plugging people in and they're playing well and the system continues to be a well-oiled machine, then that's a good thing. And yes, I know the last two games against the Warriors, those were kind of aberrations because it goes against everything I'm saying.
Like we can be honest, like the Warriors cooked and served them for Thanksgiving dinner and then served them as leftovers on Friday.
But what I will say is if you look at the attitude of the Warriors when they lost, they looked dejected. I know everybody saw all the players' faces. They looked absolutely devastated when they lost. I like the fact that this Lakers team lost by about 40, came back the next night, played sloppy. I didn't think they played bad. They just played really sloppy in that second game at Staples Center against the Warriors, and they were making a lot of really stupid turnovers, in my opinion. But the thing is, these guys continue to work hard. They continue to just keep grinding. And I think they have the mentality that, like, every game we're going to go out and try to win. Every game we're going to go out and try to compete. And with the exception of that Warriors blowout, they've done that this year. You know, they had a big game against OKC that I thought was really, really a big game for them, going up against, you know, what Russ has been doing and absolutely, I think, is now averaging a triple-double as of right now, tonight. So it's amazing to see these guys continue to grind and show that they can compete with every team in the league. And the craziest thing is you have players that are leading by example like Jordan Clarkson who are completely fearless and going out there, and you're starting to look at the DNA of this team and you're like, man, they have that Kobe mentality. Like, they're going to go out, they're going to compete, they're not afraid of anybody, and they truly believe they can win against every team. And I think that's a really solid mentality to have when they're playing so well and they have this team style brand of basketball. That's why I believe they're going to make the playoffs, because of the bench, the mentality that they have, and the consistency in which this team has played all year long. And they're competing. And that's something that I don't think a lot of people gave them credit for, myself included. I didn't think they would be this successful playing this kind of basketball this fast and this well. And I think that's been really the big surprise here in LA. And it's going to be something fun to watch in this December stretch on the road.
And I think the thing about this bench is, it's been so good that Luke Walton is, you know, I got into this in my pieces last night a little bit. He's starting Jose Calderon and Thomas Robinson just to keep that unit, that bench unit together. He really doesn't want to split them up. And as much as we like to talk about how they like to get out and transition and things like that, they've been doing it because they've been getting stops. Their defensive rating is 94.4, which means they're allowing 94.4 points per 100 possessions, which is actually that's like a better defense than the Hawks have posted this year, and they're the best defense in the league. So on the season as far as defensive efficiency goes. And so he can rely on them not only just to, because a lot of benches it's just like, all right, get out there and outscore them for a couple,
right?
If the bench gets hot, then we have a chance. If it doesn't, then we're messed up. Whereas the Lakers starters, they just go into these games and they're like, we just need to tread water and against the other team's starters, and then our bench is just going to come in here and kill guys. And it's been working so far this year, and it even worked without Russell and Randall. And you talked about Kobe mentality, and you've mentioned that a couple times this podcast, and I think that those young guys, they're sharing the ball, so it's a little bit different. And not that Kobe was ever like as selfish as I think a lot of people made him out to be, but he was very much I want to shoot first. I don't know that he would have fit in as well on this team. I think he was almost too alpha for it. But Randall, Russell, and Clarkson all have kind of that killer mentality, and they're all totally buying in to this selfless style of play.
They know it wins, right? And that's the thing. They know it wins. And being around Kobe, even during that last season when he wasn't Kobe until that last game, of course, they still learned. And that's the thing. I think these guys understand what it takes to win, the kind of work ethic it takes to win. And now they know that they're the future. Kobe's gone. This is the next generation of Lakers, and they believe that they're building something there that could be really special for years to come. And already you're seeing some really nice play out of these young guys, and you're seeing a good style of basketball that's going to help them win together. And you see the support too. It's not just on the court, it's off the court. You're seeing these guys gel over social media. You're seeing them truly be behind each other, have fun with each other. And it's just, I think it feels like a weight lifted off their shoulders to finally be able to have control of their own destiny, not have to be weighted down by things like Byron Scott and Kobe's farewell tour. Listen, I was the biggest fan of Kobe Bryant ever, but there came a point in time where you need to separate yourself. And I feel like the Lakers did it at the right time. And, you know, D'Angelo said this publicly, so I can share this story. He came up to MoCap for a 2K MoCap session, and I had a chance to sit down and talk with him. Obviously, I'm really excited being a huge fan of D'Angelo Russell. And it was cool talking to him about that Kobe 60-point game, because he told me, as he told the public, I just wanted to sit back and almost watch him score 60. He's like, you know, it kind of sucked being out there because I had to keep throwing him the ball, and all I wanted to do was watch. And sometimes I'd forget that I'd have to actually make a pass or be in the game, right?
Yeah, you got to be careful. You end up getting hit in the face because right. You're just pretending like you were allowed to stand from your courtside seat.
Exactly. But the thing that shows me, when you went to D'Angelo's Twitter, it's a picture of him and Kobe leaning over together, right? Like, he looked up to this dude. A lot of guys did, and the media probably won't play that up, right? Because they're going to look at the negatives of the final season and Byron Scott.
Our segment last year would have been who's fighting with Kobe today, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah, everybody always wanted to kind of come up with a feud for Kobe, or he was a very polarizing figure and he was very SEO friendly, I think we can freely admit.
Yep.
And, you know, it was a guy that, for whatever reason, the narrative about him became, do players want to play with him? And he had to disprove that every single day, and people were going to jump on it anytime that there was any evidence to the contrary, that, you know, maybe players didn't want to play with him. And that was, yeah, that was a headline a lot, I think, that a lot of people wanted, because it was very SEO friendly.
It was. And, you know, we could sit here and have hours of conversations about Kobe, but the one thing that I'll say is, from every conversation I've had to just looking as a fan, you can see where that mentality is kind of sticking in some of these younger players. You can see that confidence building. And again, it's not because they're having a couple hot games. You know, Jordan Clarkson had a few games there where he didn't play very well, but he stuck with it. In the fourth quarter, he had big fourth quarters, right? You're seeing that confidence kind of build in a system that allows for team play. I can't emphasize that enough, because it's so polar opposite to what we've had in the past, you know, even 20 years with Kobe there. We've had, you know, alpha male after alpha male after alpha male, and it was very interesting. But the game of basketball is shifting. You know, it's shifting in a direction where you need more team-oriented styles of basketball. You know, the big man is kind of a lost art in a lot of ways. And as you start seeing these stretch fours and fives, you start seeing the shooting that has become today's NBA, you have to adapt to that. And I feel like the Lakers built a roster and have had players that, again, Nick Young, would you have ever thought you'd be tweeting, Nick Young makes best defensive play of the game, or Nick Young's defense helps Lakers win, right? Like, this
no,
is
I mean,
that are happening
I thought
now.
I'd be tweeting about Nick Young Chinese Basketball Association highlights
right.
this year.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I'll be honest. Like, I did not think he was going to be in the NBA. And again, I'll admit it, I am wrong a lot. You know, it happens. You know, we're all wrong a lot.
And let me tell you something.
I agree.
I agree with you, and I'll be the first one to admit I got my salt shaker in the right hand, I got my pepper shaker in the left hand. You know what I'm doing? I'm putting that son of a gun right on that plate of crow, because you know what? I thought he was gone. I thought he was done. I thought he didn't have his head in the game. And man, was I wrong about Nick Young. And it's really great to see. And that to me, to your point, is a true testament to the coaching staff. You know, guys that have these guys not only like have a lot of experience, player, you know, guys like Brian Shaw, Luke Walton, but they've also played with Kobe. And I think that plays into, we understand the psychology of winning basketball, but we also understand that we have this system, and if we buy into the system, your greatness will shine through as a team. And then because the team's so great, it'll shine through as individuals. And I think that's the difference in what the Lakers have built this year. And again, the word that I keep coming back to, it's fun and it's consistent. And that's what's something that's really nice to watch as a Lakers fan, because I thought we were a couple of years away from this kind of style of basketball. So it's been awesome to watch. And these guys believe they can do this thing. And I love watching this team play. I know they're not happy about four games in five nights. I am as a fan, because every time there's a Laker game on, it's like I love to just jump right in and watch every second of it this year.
I think a lot of people feel that way, and that hasn't been the feeling the last couple of years. Awesome, there's a Laker game tonight. Awesome, there's a Laker game tonight. You know, it was like what's going to go wrong tonight? Whereas this year, it's like, okay, who's going to randomly blow up tonight?
Right, and that's the thing, right? Like, I don't think we had the right coach. You know, the Kobe farewell tour was an amazing thing in a lot of ways, but I think the youth took a backseat to that. Rightfully so. It's Kobe. No LA fan should be upset at that. You know what I mean? But at the same time, Scott wasn't showing promise of the future. And that was my biggest problem with him. And I said it, I think, on the podcast last time we talked last year, was like, if you're not growing the future, then you're just kind of stalling their development. And I think that's what was the frustrating part to a lot of Lakers fans. You know, Kobe was going to get his shots and he was going to get his looks. And, you know, every time he called for the ball, it was like, you know, playing my career in NBA 2K. You call for the ball, they're going to pass it to you every time. And then you don't have to pass it back, you know. But yeah. Knowing now that what he instilled on these young players, you're seeing that kind of confidence building. And that's not a false confidence or something that's an ego thing. I think that's truly a real thing. And more importantly, you see that confidence being instilled in them from Luke Walton, which is really nice. You know, you could see the guys, how much they're enjoying being at practice, how much they're enjoying being around each other. You're seeing how much they enjoy winning together. And, you know, going back to your original question, yeah, I think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs because of the dominance of the bench, because of the fact that you're already seeing this year that these guys understand the roles. And that's the success to a team, is when you have your players understand what their roles are in the long term, in the big picture.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And so we've talked a lot about the fun of this young roster and these young guys and all of that stuff. But so, like we've mentioned a couple times, it's been a while since we had you on the podcast. Watching the first 18 games or so of this season, which has been the young guy that's jumped out the most at you? Who have you been the most excited to watch?
Oh, man, it's a good question. So, two guys for me. First is Larry Nance Jr. He's improved his game, and he might be our best perimeter defender. If you watch the way that he plays defense, it's really fun to watch. And he does a lot of things, continuously does a lot of things that may not show up on the stat sheet, but it's those intangibles which are really important to winning basketball games. So as a basketball purist, I really like watching Larry Nance. And by the way, his dunk against the Warriors still had me screaming out loud like a 10-year-old fanboy, because that's totally what I was when he did that.
I was in the building for that, and the crowd was just like, it was just stunned.
Yeah.
Like, there were cheers, and then there was, wait, what did we just see?
Yep, it was amazing. So Larry Nance has been really great. And then the second thing that the second player that I've been really excited to watch grow is Julius Randle. I think Julius is now understanding the versatility that he has. I think that he is looking up to Luke to help guide him into a new direction in terms of what kind of player he can be. And you see the attitude, you see the enforcement out of Julius Randle, you know, and TV, he's a little bit of a scrappy player. And personally, because I loved Kobe, I like seeing that in a guy. I like that confidence. He's standing up to KG, you know, he's standing up to some of the Warrior players. I like that. And, you know, the Tyson Chandler, and that's the thing too, if you want to talk about maturity, right? The game where Tyson Chandler got in his face, got teed up, right? Bumping him. Julius comes back, gets the ball. This was the best play of the season if you're a Lakers fan, bar none. Julius Randle gets the ball. It's about a minute 15 left in the game, fourth quarter. Lakers are up by a couple points. Julius Randle starts to dribble. Tyson Chandler's on defense. You're like, all right, here we go. One-on-one. He's going to take him, right? What does Julius Randle do? He takes two dribbles, passes the ball over to Clarkson, who's wide open for three, and Clarkson hits a three to seal the game. It's the maturity of the young players that are starting to understand what it takes to win basketball games. Randle is not getting caught up in his emotions. He's learning how to win, and he's understanding what it takes to win. I thought that was one of the most mature plays out of a young player in this league that you can see. And to me, it was just so telling of how much they trust each other this year. So seeing those two guys in particular has been really fun. And sometimes you forget that Brandon Ingram kind of has a scorer inside there, you know. Ingram has been shooting a little poorly as of late, but I think defensively he's been pretty exciting to watch. And he's just going to take some time, you know, and I think that's okay, because what he does is he comes in there and he's not about flash like I think some fans wanted, but he's about production. And I really like that out of Ingram. But I think he's going to actually get better as the season goes on and, you know, starts to get continue to get some of these looks. Because if you look at the way he's shooting right now, at least in my opinion, he's getting good looks. He's just not dropping them right now.
He has to get a little bit better about finishing around the rim. And we've talked about this before, but some of it, I think it just, you know, it's going to come from getting more foul calls once he gets older. Some of it is going to get from just getting a little bit stronger. And some of it is just technique. He has a tendency to use some weird little unnatural finishes around the rim sometimes. And it's like watching a baby giraffe learn how to walk a little bit, and eventually he's going to figure it out, but right now he's just kind of stumbling all over the place and occasionally making stuff happen on offense, and you know, that's not giving him enough credit. He's been under control, and he just needs to learn how to finish better. And just being an impact defender as a 19-year-old is still that just blows my mind every time.
Exactly. And that's the thing that Laker fans need to understand. Like, it's not all about offense in a system, right? We've been winning games and Ingram hasn't even got going. And again, I just want to say there is a proficient scorer inside that young man. So, you know, that will continue to emerge, I think, as the season goes on. But to your point, his impact defensively and the stuff that he's learning within the system has been really exciting. And it's nice to even have a 19-year-old spot-up three-point shooter at his height. I mean, that's still a mismatch when he's shooting. You know, that's above 7 feet to defend when he goes up for a jump shot. So,
yeah, you're not blocking that thing. It's just not happening. Like, unless you're Kevin Durant, you're not blocking it.
Exactly. So it's good to see Ingram. But yeah, to answer your original question, I know I'm going on these long-winded answers because there's so much to talk about.
That's why we bring you on, is you bring the enthusiasm. I'm not enthusiastic enough, so it's a good mix.
I am, man. I'm that guy last year that was like, we're going to win tonight. No, we're not. We're going to win tonight. No, we're not. We're going to win tonight. No, we're not. But, you know, this is actually something that is real, and that is it's extremely fun to watch. But the best part of it is I'm very patient. You know, if we don't make the playoffs this year, I don't look at it as a disappointment. I think these guys are learning the right style of basketball. I think the foundation is not being laid. It's already been set this year. And, you know, it bodes well for the future of free agents. You know, I think you start looking at guys like Carl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis's, and you're like, all right, maybe that's the one piece that they're away from. And yeah, I know those are pipe dreams. I know Laker fans thinking up silly free agent stories, but now this is looking like a destination for players to come and win in a good system, right? And that's the thing that's really fun about it. So I am a patient Laker fan. And at the same time, I'm really just enthralled by the way that they're playing this year in the style that they're winning, and the fact that our bench is actually just devastating the league is a really good sign, because that tells me one thing: this team has consistency. So as the starters continue to gel together, and again, we're out two starters with D'Lo and Randall, but you're seeing the bench continue to just have their dominance on the league. And I think that's a really important key factor in the way this Laker team plays, because I don't think nobody on this planet thought that the Lakers would have a top five bench, let alone number one far and wide.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I think, again, like going to the free agent thing, you know, even if it's not Anthony Davis or Carl Anthony Towns or, you know, those huge, huge names, who wouldn't want to play for Luke Walton?
Right.
You know, like what guy, like, that's not going to be a problem for the Lakers as long as Luke Walton is the coach, at least based on what we've seen so far. Is, you know, we have no evidence to show that any player is ever going to say, nah, you know, I like the Los Angeles, I like the roster that they have, but I don't know if I want to play for that coach. Like, I can't see a player that would ever say that.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that is so nice. And that's why I say the foundation is set now. You know, it's not we're building towards the future. We are. The future is now. You know, this is the team that is going to play this way for, I think, many years to come and only get better and better. And if they're able to do this just right out the gates, it's going to be fun to watch the rest of the season, go into another year of free agency. But the nice thing is these guys all believe that they understand the roles and that they can win games. And, you know, again, I want to use that word. The Lakers are fun again, and I love the camaraderie. I love just the ability to really support each other and just how well everybody's playing, man. It's a really nice thing to see. And, you know, you start looking around the league and teams you thought that were going to do better out the gates than the Lakers, teams like Minnesota. I think a lot of people, the media put Boston ahead of us. Yeah, you know, that happened. You know, you start to look around the league. Portland, just about the same record as us. You know, I think we're in a very good spot, because the way that I look at the NBA now with obviously the power move of KD going to the Warriors is there's a 3 to 5 year run right there in Golden State. And it's going to be interesting to see the teams that are, you know, subpar to mediocre are going to have some problems, whereas we're in a very fortunate position to have all the pieces that we need moving forward, and we've proven that we can play with that team. So, you know, if it ends up being a Golden State Lakers first round, that could be a very interesting matchup. And I'm not saying that the Lakers would necessarily beat them, but they could learn some valuable lessons right away.
I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah, but the thing is, you learn, right? You got to learn how to lose before you learn how to win. I've always believed that when it comes to the game of basketball. So, you know, even with the super teams coming together, right? You look at those players in Golden State, you know, they had to learn to lose a couple years in a row before they kind of got it going in a really good system. KD obviously learned how to lose because he went to the most winningest team in NBA history to join the Warriors to go win, right? Like these players, right? When LeBron couldn't get it done against the Celtics in the East, he went to establish something in Miami. Big difference between establishing and joining the best team, by the way, in my opinion. That's another conversation for later. But, you know, those guys were within their rights and they went to go win. And, you know, I think that's the interesting thing about this Laker team is they're learning a lot of lessons really fast. And, you know, if they make the playoffs this year, it's going to be really fun to watch because, again, they're going to be a problem for any team, in my opinion, out in the West. You know, you saw how they competed against the Spurs. It took, you know, 13 straight shots in the third quarter for the Spurs to really pull away from that game. And even then, the Lakers were clawing back. And that's the kind of DNA that I really like to see as well. It's kind of something that people don't talk about. The Lakers get behind and they don't hang their heads down. They claw back and they compete till every last possession. And that's something that is a little underrated with this team that not many people are talking about. So that's a good sign in terms of these young kids kind of learning their lessons and kind of learning how to play and how to win and not, you know, staying focused, staying true to the system. And that's why they're getting back in these.
And you mentioned that 3 to 5 year run. With the age of their roster, it doesn't matter what the Lakers do this year. They are well built to capitalize on that kind of the downhill of Golden State. When Golden State starts to decline is right around when these guys look set to hit their primes. And especially with as special as it looks like Russell and Ingram are going to be, and those guys haven't been huge offensive contributors this year. Like Russell's been good, but he hasn't been necessarily maybe as good as a lot of people predicted, and he's 20. Like, he's going to be way better in a couple years if he continues on this growth trajectory. And Brandon Ingram is going to certainly be a much better player than the already pretty solid player he's been this year. And, you know, in 3 to 5 years, like, this team is going to be starting to hit, like, right at the beginning of their prime. And so they're kind of poised to take advantage of that. But as good as this team, you know, so this year, it really doesn't matter. I mean, if they make the playoffs, it would be fun. It would be a nice. It would be good for them to get that experience.
When you called it.
So when they make the playoffs, that'll be good experience for them. But you know, this year doesn't matter a whole lot. But they have been really good, and so I would be remiss if I have you here from 2K. You know, I would be remiss if I did not finish up our conversation by asking which player on the Lakers 2K rating do you think is the most disrespectful in retrospect?
Ooh, see, I'm going to get in trouble if I word this wrong.
Okay, maybe not
most. Oh, that's a great question. I feel, and again, I want to put out there for 2K heads listening. I don't deal with ratings. I get to put my opinion in, very pro Laker opinion in all the time. And I get rejected all the time because I don't deal with ratings. So shout out to our roster guy who does a great job.
You didn't get D'Angelo up to a 99, man. What are you doing?
Right. I would say right now, Nick Young, for sure, is the guy.
Yeah, that's probably a good one.
Nick Young, for sure, is the guy. Because right now, he's scoring, he's playing efficient, and he's playing defense. And I don't think you get that same representation out of him yet in the game. But, you know, it doesn't change overnight. And even 20 games isn't a big enough sample size to really increase sometimes ratings in our game. So, you know, hopefully we'll see some Laker ratings go up. I want to see him go up, and I definitely want to see the bench go up. So as somebody who plays now online with my Lakers, I definitely want to see Nick Young's rating go up. That would be the man that I think's rating needs to go up.
And it's not like the last couple of years where you had to play with them for a challenge. Now you can play with them just because they're actually good and they're fun to use.
They're actually good, though. I have to admit, after playing every NBA 2K game, every NBA 2K game with Kobe, I have to say, it brings a little bit of a tear to my eye that he's not on the active Lakers rosters. But of course, legends live on in our game, and you get to play as Kobe and some of the older variants of Kobe. I always run with 2001 Kobe when I play team up, which you can play with all the players on the West and the East, historic players, anybody, any all-star from the East or the West at that position, you can pretty much pick and have these 5-on-5 games, my favorite mode in the game. And I'm always running with Froby, as I like to call him, 2001.
I was about to call him that exact term.
Yeah, so it brings some happiness and warmth into my heart knowing that his legend lives on in our game. But Nick Young's that guy. Nick Young's that guy. I'd like to see his rating go up.
Yeah, I think I don't know where he's actually at right now, but I can't imagine that it's as good as he's played so far this year for the Lakers. So this is Chris Manning from he's the community manager for the NBA 2K series. He's on Twitter at LD2K. Did I get that right?
Yes, that
okay,
is it.
So he's who you go to complain about the game being rigged and, when your favorite player isn't rated as highly as you'd like them to, because you heard him say it here first, he controls all the ratings. But Chris, I really appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate the work that you do, and I appreciate your enthusiasm about the Lakers, because Anthony and I, again, we get criticized a little bit sometimes for not being in enough on this team. So we brought somebody on that just guaranteed a playoff berth for the Lakers. So you guys have that to chew on for today.
Yes, I'm going to have a special episode prior to the playoffs with Harrison. We're going to call it the I Told You So episode.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I feel very confident in this. I'm feeling very confident. And you know what? I just want to say, I love basketball so much, and I really appreciate, you having me on and us chopping up Lakers, because I think sometimes being up in the Golden State area, up in San Francisco for the 2K offices, I see a lot of Warriors fans, I see a lot of Warriors talk. So shout out to the true Lakers fans who have been here during these last couple rough years, and shout out to the real fans that are, loving and supporting the team over these past couple years, because this is what we deserve, and it's going to be a fun road to the next title. That's for sure.
Yeah, hey, and I look forward to, based on how fun this team has been, they're like 30 national TV games next year and everybody complaining about that again. So, Chris, I really appreciate you coming on. And, like I said, you guys can follow Chris on Twitter at LD2K. Go buy the NBA 2K games. It's the only way that's worth your time to simulate, an NBA season or an NBA game at all. I can't say that I have as much time to play as I used to, but it definitely was always my go-to in high school in terms of a sports game. There's nothing like it.
There you go.
Again, they are not even a sponsor. That's my honest, not that I don't give my honest opinions normally, now I'm in trouble, but I love 2K, and Chris, I appreciate you coming on. So
yeah, my pleasure, man. Thank you.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. That's going to do it for us today. But as always, you can find the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Today's Fast Break. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Use the promo code LOLakers to get a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. Anthony has been gone. He's been out on a little bit of a vacation. For all of our frequent listeners, he will most likely be back tomorrow. So you can just skip that episode. And all right, we will talk talk to everybody later. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll be right back.